What is your name?
My name is Annalisa Moline.
When did you join the Denver unit of WOSL?
I joined it in April of 1986.
What branch of the service were you in?
I was in the Army Nurse Corps.
What made you decide to come in the Army Nurse Corps?
I was working as assistant superintendent for the Departments of Hospitals in New York City, in charge of a 300-bed pediatric building. Well, I had been there since training off and on, and one of my friends joined the Army Nurse Corps early in 1941. She was on this a boat that went down, the first boat with nursing personnel that went over in 1941, I believe, and it was shipwrecked off the coast of Ireland. And I was so enthusiastic about her valor that I joined the Army Nurse Corps. And then also, the American Red Cross had a big rally at the Commodore Hotel early in 1941, the period prior to World War I, when there was an emergency status. The Army, the Red Cross was then recruiting nurses for the Army Nurse Corps. It was a beautiful ceremony. Flags were furled, and the discussion was held relative to the need for Army nurses, and I joined immediately. This was in April 1941.
What did you do before you came in the Army?
Before I was in the Army, I was, first I was supervisor at Metropolitan Hospital, and then I attended schools evenings. No, I was evening supervisor. I attended school mornings at New York University, and in 1940 I received my BS degree in nursing education. After that, I continued. I went for a small time to Greenpoint Hospital, which was supposed to be the garden spot of the earth in New York City. It was an Italian district full of crime. Then I went back to New York to Metropolitan Hospital, and when I joined the Army, I was titled as a assistant superintendent of the pediatric building.
What did you do in the service?
First, I was assigned to Pine Camp as assistant chief nurse to Beatrice Quinn, a beautiful lieutenant colonel Army Nurse Corps. There, I was only there for about a year, and then I was transferred to Fort Hamilton as chief nurse. And at Fort Hamilton, after about 8 months, I said I would like to go overseas. And I was assigned to the 3rd Auxiliary Surgical Group. In about November of 1942.
Now. Where did that surgical group go?
The 3rd Auxiliary Surgical Group was initiated or set up at Port San Antonio. What's the name of the hospital in San Antonio? After that, early in December, latter part of November of 1942, we were activated at Fort Dix, which is actually Fort, what is Fort Dix? New York City. And we departed on the Queen Mary on December 7th, exactly 1 year after war was declared in 1942. And on the Queen Mary, we were unescorted because of the size of the vessel. And because we were unescorted, the vessel had to crisscrossing to keep out of the line of fire of the Army. And between that and the storm, at Storms at Sea, we had 4,000 sick troops. No. When we arrived in Scotland, there was a rumor that Queen Mary had been sunk because we were several days late getting into the Perth of Forth in Scotland. Actually, we had been hit one night. There was all this rushing and screaming and pounding as we lay in our berths. But because of the size of the Queen Mary, they were able to repair the ship, and it went on to the Perth of Forth. After that, we were rushed in the dark of night to Oxford, England, by train. And we were stationed there to be assigned out as needed.
Where were your other assignments when you were in the service?
I was with the 3rd Auxiliary Surgical Group, and I had to go down to Truro in Cornwall because we had a hospital set up there to take care of air raid casualties from across the channel. After that, I was assigned to the 30th General Hospital, and there, when I was assigned to 30th General Hospital, I went to Hull to set up a hospital in a bombed-out Catholic school. We scrubbed and cleaned debris, and because it was partially destroyed, we lived in a house next to the school, the Catholic school, which was also partially destroyed. After I had been in Hull for about 4 months, I was called by a central office, which was in London, and asked if I was willing to go to an area where the only transportation we would have would be by air. And they asked if my uniforms were in good condition, if my health was good. I said yes. So they called me back and said, would another girl, like nurse, like to go with me? So a friend of mine, Hilda Nevin, and I received orders. We did not know where we were going. It was absolutely secret. We went down to London, and then they, in the dark of night also again, they put us on a sleeper, and we went to Land's End. From Land's End, we left one morning. We were told then that we were going to Russia on a mission that was set up during the conference between Churchill, Stalin, and Roosevelt relative to the shuttle bombing that was to occur over Poland by the 8th Air Force and by over Romania from planes stationed in Italy. Of course, we were quite excited about this. We left then on a bomber plane for Russia. We left one night, leaving Land's End on a carrier, and we landed in Casablanca the next morning with the birds singing in spring. In the air, we were thrilled after the long, dark days in England. We stayed in, we then went on to Tehran, stopping in Tripoli for lunch, I remember, for tea. And then we drove on, flew on to Tehran. At Tehran, the nurses were assigned to relieve in the hospital. And we were waiting there for about 3 weeks before we could get into Russia because, as you know, the Russians were in control. And every time that the pilots would go into Russia with supplies, they would demand another visa, so they ran short of visas. We had to wait for visas. And about the last of May, we finally did receive orders, and we flew over that gorgeous land from Tehran into Poltava near Kiev, over the Caspian Sea and the Ukraine, the beautiful land which is similar to our prairies in South Dakota, where I was born, where I was reared. We were stationed, we set up a hospital unit, a hospital unit there with a complete operating room. We also had to set up hospitals at two other bases, one at Mirgorod and one at Periyatin. Now, Mirgorod and Periyatin were fighter bases, and Poltava was a bomber base. We awaited for casualties, the missions to begin, but because the bombing was delayed, the bombing of England was delayed, the missions were delayed. But finally, there was a mission from Italy across Romania, and we were ready for any casualties that might be on the planes. Of course, it was great excitement because this was considered quite a historical fact that we would have the shuttle bombing occur and be stationed in Russia. Of course, we did receive casualties from the planes as they came in, pilots that were shot and wounded in the bomber bases, of their planes, in the bomber pits of their plane. Then we continued, they would, the pilots of the planes would refuel in Russia and return again to their base in Italy and bomb as they went back. This was so that they would not have to carry a larger load of bombs to make the trip back and over Romania and into Russia and back again. So this was one of the prime purposes of the this plan was that they would refuel and go back. Now, there were several trips made between England and between Italy and Romania, over Romania into Russia. But about on the 21st of June, the 8th Air Force made a raid over Poland. Well, by that time, the Germans were quite aware of where we were, and they followed us in. They followed the planes in. About 11 o'clock at night, we heard air raid sirens, but we had heard so many air raid sirens in England that we didn't pay too much attention to it. But about midnight, the bombing started, and we were bombed the whole night in the trenches. Fortunately, the Russians had built trenches that were about 3 feet wide in which we could bring the patients from the hospital, and we were there until dawn, being bombs falling all around. I am sure that the Germans, knew where we were because the flares were as light as day. But they did not bomb us in the trenches. They knew that there were women there. However, they bombed Russians not more than about two blocks away, and the earth from the bombing flew over our heads, hit our heads and our helmets.
When you came in the service, what was the biggest adjustment you had to make?
Adjustments? My mother said that this was good for me because I complained that we didn't have tablecloths on the in the mess. This was the somewhat rough living was rather hard. The mess in in Russia, we after our bombing, we were on the ground. We didn't even have a wooden floor, wooden floors in our tents. The ants would get into our bedroom, our leather slippers that we used to walk to the latrine. The latrine setups were not always very delicate situations. And in England, the food was not good. It was at the height of the war. The English people had little food. For breakfast one morning, the first morning, us, some heated tomatoes over a piece of bread. Not because of myself, but because of my 70 nurses. We never had other foods, of course. We never had eggs or butter nor milk during the whole period. This I missed. However, when I was at Hull, this we were taking care of men from the Navy. So once in a while, they would give us an egg. This was a luxury. Actually, I adjusted quite well to the rough living.
When you went into service, did you plan to make it a career?
Yes, I had hoped to. But when I came out, they were discharging everyone. I had been in 6 years, and they were discharging everyone who was not regular Army. However, Lieutenant Colonel Danielson, with whom I had served on my last assignment in her office at Versailles, out of Paris, knew me. I had worked with her about 6 months before we came home. I came home with her. She called after I had made my application to the Veterans Administration and asked me to return to Walter Reed, or later she said I could be assigned wherever I wished because they were needing nurses then again in the Army. But because I was 35 years old at the time I entered, first entered, I thought I would be over age and afraid that I would not be kept in the regular Army if I returned. And this proved to be a fact because one of my friends who went in was separated. And you can only follow one path in this world, and I chose the VA.
Okay, after you got out of the service, you went into VA nursing, is that right?
No, I really came back as assistant superintendent at the University of Pennsylvania School of Nursing. But because of my chest condition, I became ill, and I really could not tolerate that climate. I still had a lot of stress from my Army experience. So I went down to Washington to see Colonel Danielson, and she encouraged me to apply to the for the Veterans Administration, trying to get out, leave Pittsburgh, smoky section. And I was accepted in the Veterans Administration.
What prompted you to join WOSL?
I love the Army and my life in it. And I have known some beautiful women in the service. Rita Geis, Lieutenant Colonel Danielson, Lieutenant Colonel Beatrice Quinn, and I thought it would be a refreshing thing to have associations with women who had formerly been in the Army Nurse Corps.
Okay, that's just great. I thank you very much.